This week's parsha is Parshas Shlach. In this parsha, we have the sin of the spies of the Meraglim that they spoke evil against Eretz Yisrael or against Hashem. Our shiur today is going to be focused mostly on the change that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Hoshea bin Nun and called them Yehoshua, which is found on chapter 13. Verse number 16. Before that, we'll explain another question regarding Hoshea bin Nun or Yehoshua, meaning that when Moshe Rabbeinu is listing the leaders of the tribe that are going to be the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu first says, Lemate Ruven Shamu ben Zachur, Lemate Shimon Shafet ben Churi, Lemate Yuda Kolev ben Yefuna, Lemate Yisachar Yigal ben Yosef. Then he goes in Pasuk number 8, Lemate Ephraim, to the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun. Then it goes Lemate Vinyamin, Palti ben Rafu, Lemate Zvun, Gadiel ben Suri. And then on Pasuk number 11, it says Lemate Yosef, to the tribe of Yosef, Lemate Menashe, to the tribe of Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. And then it continues listing the other tribes. We are going to ask a few questions. The first question we are going to ask is the order of the listing of these names. This order is clearly not listed the way the Shvatim were born, because if that would be true, then it should be Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, and then the sons of Bila, which are Dan, Naphtali, and then the sons of Zilpah, which are Gad and Asher, and then Issachar Zvon. And the listing here also does not follow the order of the encampments, because the Golem listed on Bamidbar chapter 2 are Reuven, Shimon, Gad, and Yehuda, Issachar Zvon. And here we have Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Issachar, Ephraim. Therefore, the Ramban says that the listing here follows the level of the person that's listed, meaning that the tribe of Reuven had a Nasi that was in a higher level than the tribe of Shimon, and the tribe of Shimon had a Nasi that was in a higher level than the tribe of Yehuda, and so forth. The list here goes according to the level of the prince of that tribe. The Sforna disagrees with this interpretation, and the Sforna says that the listing here wasn't by level of person, meaning what level the prince was. The list here was by the level of age of the prince, not the level of age of the tribes, but the level of age of the prince, meaning that the leader of tribe of Reuven, Shamua ben Zachor, was the oldest person in the group. The second oldest was the tribe of Shimon, Shafat ben Chori, and so forth. The rest of the list went by age. But the question that Daz HaKenim Baal Tosfos asks is regarding Lemate Ephraim. There it's written to the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun, and it's not written to the tribe of Yosef, to the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun. And regarding the tribe of Menashe, on Pasuk number 11, there it's written Lemate Yosef, to the tribe of Yosef, Lemate Menashe, to the tribe of Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. The Daz HaKenim asks, since we know that Yosef had two children, Ephraim and Asher, then why regarding Ephraim it's only written Hoshea bin Nun, and it's not written that Ephraim belongs to the tribe of Yosef, and regarding the tribe of Manasseh, it's written that the tribe of Manasseh belongs to the tribe of Yosef. The Daz HaKenim Baal Tosfos answers that since the sin of the spies is going to be that they spoke Lashon Hara, either on Hashem or on the land of Israel, and we know from Bereshis chapter 37 on Parshas Vayeshev, there in verse number 2 it's written, Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el aviyam, that Yosef used to bring the evil reports on the brothers to Yaakov, then Yosef also spoke Lashon Hara. Therefore, Menashe, which eventually is going to join the spies, is going to follow in the footstep of Yosef. Therefore, it associates Menashe to Yosef, that Yosef spoke Lashon Hara, and Menashe's prince also spoke Lashon Hara. Therefore, it's associated to Yosef. But Ephraim's prince, Hoshea ben Nun, is going to be one of the two spies who didn't speak Lashon Hara. He was able to break away from Yosef. Therefore, the Torah doesn't want it to be associated to Yosef, who spoke Lashon Hara. Meaning that since the priest of Ephraim, Yehoshua ben Nun, did not follow in the footsteps of his forefather Yosef HaTzadik, therefore the Torah is disassociating him here from Yosef, that he has no part of the Lashon Hara that Yosef spoke. The Kli Yakor uses this Das Kanim Bal HaTosfos to answer the question that is going to be the focus of our shir, of why in Pasuk number 16, where it says there, Vaikra Moshe Lehoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, and Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that Ka Yoshiacho Me'atzas Meraglim, that Hashem should help you from the advice of the spies, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed regarding Yehoshua ben Nun, that Hashem should help him, that he should not be influenced by the spies. That's why Hoshea was changed, that a Yud was added in his name in the front of it, like that will be Yud-Kei should help, that the shame of Hashem should help him, that he shouldn't be influenced by the spies. And the question the Mefarshim ask is, why specifically did Moshe Rabbeinu only pray for Yehoshua? The Kli Yakor answers that based on this Das Kanim Bal HaTosfos, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed specifically for Yehoshua because since Yehoshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim, and Ephraim is a child of Yosef, and we know that Yosef had this bad character of speaking Lashon Hara, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Ephraim, meaning Yehoshua now, will have the same character as his forefather Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to pray that Ephraim break away from the character of Yosef and not speak Lashon Hara. But regarding the other tribes, since they never showed any inclination of speaking Lashon Hara, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu didn't feel it's necessary to pray for them that they do not speak Lashon Hara. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu only prayed for Hoshea ben Nun that he should be Yehoshua. Like that, he'll be able to break away from the character of Yosef HaTzadik and not speak Lashon Hara. But then the Kli Yakor asks, we know that Yosef HaTzadik had two children. He had Ephraim and he had Menashe. And if we say now that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Ephraim is going to be influenced by Yosef's character and speak Lashon Hara, why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu afraid for Menashe? Why didn't he pray for Menashe's prince that he shouldn't be influenced by the Lashon Hara that Yosef HaTzadik spoke? If the whole idea is that since Yosef spoke Lashon Hara, we want to make sure that his child is not influenced by that Lashon Hara, why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu pray the same way for Menashe? Menashe is also a child of Yosef, and he could also be influenced by Yosef's Lashon Hara. And the Kli Yakor answers that since in Parshas Vayechi, chapter 48, verse number 20, there Yaakov Avinu already said, Yesimcha Elohim ke Ephraim ke Menashe, that Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, and the pasuk says, Vayosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe, that he put Ephraim in front of Menashe. Then there was already a tradition that Ephraim is always going to lead and Menashe is going to follow. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he blesses Ephraim, that Ephraim should not follow the footsteps of Yosef HaTzadik and speak Lashon Hara, Menashe will follow Ephraim and Menashe automatically won't speak Lashon Hara. Since Menashe is supposed to always follow Ephraim, if Ephraim is not going to speak Lashon Hara, then Moshe Rabbeinu thought that Menashe is not going to speak Lashon Hara. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think it's necessary to bless Menashe. Or the Kli Yakor says, since regarding the name Menashe, it is written on chapter 41 of Bereishis, Pasuk number 51, that he was called Menashe, Kinoshani Elohim Eskol Amoli, Veeskol Beisavi, that Hashem made me forget my troubles and my father's house. That means that the name Menashe was called for detachment of his father's house. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since we know that the name of a person influences his behavior, that Menashe, because his name connotes forgetting the father's house, that Menashe would forget the father's, Yosef's action, and not speak Lashon Hara based on the name. Meaning that Menashe would be influenced not to speak Lashon Hara based on his name Menashe, which means forgetting my father's house. Therefore, Menashe will not follow in his father's footsteps and speak Lashon Hara. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought it is not necessary to pray for Menashe, because Menashe's name itself implies that he is not going to follow in the father's footsteps, he's not going to follow in Yosef's footsteps of speaking Lashon Hara. The Meshech Chachma answers our original question, why regarding Ephraim it's not written Lemate Yosef, but regarding Menashe it's written Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. And according to his answer, we could also explain the question of the Kli Yoker, why Moshe Rabbeinu only prayed for Ephraim and did not pray for Menashe. Based on the Rashi on Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas, chapter 27, verse number 1. There we have the famous story about Benoi Salafchot, the daughters of Salafchot, that they ask for a portion of the land of Israel. But there, when it describes the Benoi Salafchot, the genealogy of Benoi Salafchot, it tells you that the Kravno Benoi Salafchot, Ben Hefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Mochi, Ben Menashe, the daughters of Salafchot, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilad, the son of Mochir, the son of Menashe, and then it continues, Lemishpachas Menashe ben Yosef, to the family of the Menashe, son of Yosef. Rashi asks a question, once you tell me already ben Menashe, then automatically I know that's Menashe ben Yosef. Why does the Torah have to tell me again that this is from the family of Menashe ben Yosef? Rashi answers, Eloloi Malach, to tell you, Yosef chibef esoretz, Yosef held the land precious, Shenemar, like it's written, before Yosef dies, he says, Valisem es atzmoisai mizei itchem, that Yosef requested that the Jewish people should take his bones towards Israel. Then obviously he didn't want to remain in Egypt. He wanted even his bones to go towards Israel. Uvenoisof chivevu es oretz, and the daughters also loved the land, Shenemar, because right here in Bnei Salafchot are asking, Nolano Achoza gives us a heritage, gives us a piece of the land, the Lamdoch, to tell you, Shehoyu Kulam Tzadikim, that all of them were righteous, that the whole generations, meaning the whole family tree coming from Yosef, they were all righteous. Rashi continues, makes a rule, Shekol mi shemasov umase avoisov stumim, that whoever action and the action of his ancestors are not given, meaning we don't know if they were righteous or not. And then Upirat Lachakosif Be'echad Mem Layakso Leshevach, and then in one of them the Torah tells you for praise, meaning that they are righteous people and they did something right, then you know Areit Tzadik Ben Tzadik, that the whole generation is righteous son of righteous. Meaning that from the fact that the Torah is writing the genealogy of the Bnei Salafchot all the way to Yosef HaTzadik, and we know that the Bnei Salafchot were righteous, that they wanted Eretz Yisrael, and we know that Yosef HaTzadik wanted Eretz Yisrael, then you could conclude that all the generations mentioned in this list, all of them wanted Eretz Yisrael. We see clearly from here that Yosef HaTzadik wanted Eretz Yisrael, and Menashe wanted Eretz Yisrael. Also, we see from what happened in Parshas Matos, where there we have the two tribes, Reuven and Gad, asking for portions in the other side of the Jordan, meaning that they wanted to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu decides to give them the land, on chapter 32, verse 33, then Moshe Rabbeinu adds, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, half the tribe of Menashe, and Menashe never asked to be outside Eretz Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu, realizing that Menashe loves so much Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he's going to split Menashe in half, give half in this side of the Jordan and half in Eretz Yisrael. Like that, the 2.5 tribes will always be connected to Eretz Yisrael through Menashe, because of Menashe's extreme love to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, says the Meshech Chochmeh, when Moshe Rabbeinu was listing the names of Ephraim and Menashe, he associated Menashe to Yosef because of Yosef's extreme love to Eretz Yisrael and Menashe's love to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, also, I wanted to say, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to pray for the sons of Yosef to not be influenced by the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think it was necessary to pray for the tribe of Menashe not to be influenced by the spies, because since Menashe and Yosef always showed an extreme love to Eretz Yisrael, it's not necessary to pray for them. But Ephraim, which didn't show such love to Eretz Yisrael, it was necessary to pray. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake, that the Nasi, the prince of Menashe, did not share this love to Eretz Yisrael, and eventually he ended up speaking bad reports on Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned, the Kli Yakor asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu only pray for Yehoshua, and why did he specifically put the Yud in front of Yehoshua's name? The Kli Yakor answers first, the simple answer why Moshe Rabbeinu only prayed for Yehoshua and why did he change only Yehoshua's name, is simply because Yehoshua is his student, and it's more embarrassing if your student rebels against you. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to pray for Yehoshua in order to save himself embarrassment, just in case Yehoshua is thinking of following the spies. The other answer the Kli Yakor gives of why Moshe Rabbeinu only prayed for Yehoshua is that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that his prayer on Yehoshua will help to influence all the other spies. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu already thought that the spies, when they leave, they are up to no good and they are going to try to say something bad about Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu also knew that Amalek is in Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, when the spies come back and they give the reports to the Jewish people, they start with verse number 29, Amalek Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev, that Amalek is in the south. And Rashi explains why did they start with Amalek. Rashi says, L'fi she'nichvu ba'Amalek kvar, because they already burned by Amalek, meaning that at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, Amalek comes to fight us, and Amalek is able to take some people, and he already caused the Jewish people trouble, and the Jewish people were already scared of Amalek from that time. Therefore, the spies decided to start giving the bad reports on Eretz Yisrael by telling the Jewish people that Amalek is in the south. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to counteract that statement even before that statement is made, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu hoped that the spies will never make this statement. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that specifically in the name of Yehoshua, he is going to add a Yud by making the first letters of his name Yud Kei. Because there in Parshas B'Shalach on chapter 17, we see that Yehoshua fought against Amalek and Yehoshua was able to weaken Amalek. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if people will remember that Yehoshua fought Amalek and Yehoshua was able to come out victorious against Amalek, then the people won't get scared from the fact that Amalek is in the south. And specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to do the name Yud Kei, because in chapter 17, verse number 16, there the pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, that the hand of Amalek is in the throne of Hashem, Milchomol Hashem Amalek, that Hashem is warring against Amalek, Midoir Doir, from generation of the desert until the generation of Mashiach, which means that Hashem himself is going to fight against Amalek. If Hashem himself is going to fight against Amalek, then the Jewish people have nothing to fear. And the proof is that Hashem fought previously against Amalek through the hands of Yeshua, and Yeshua was able to weaken Amalek. So too, if Amalek shows up in Eretz Yisrael and he decides to war against us, we are able to weaken him, we're able to destroy him, because the Yud-Kei is there to protect us, because Hashem himself said that he's going to fight Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he puts the name Yud-Kei in Yehoshua, and the spies will be speaking to Yehoshua, then the spies will be reminded of the Yud-Kei and reminded of Yehoshua's war against Amalek. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought they will never dishearten the Jewish people by saying that Amalek is in the south. Because since Yeshua is present, and Yeshua now starts with Yud-Kei, and Yeshua was the one that fought Amalek and was able to weaken them, then obviously Hashem could make Yeshua weaken Amalek again. Therefore, the Jewish people would have nothing to be scared. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the spies won't even mention this point, because this point is moot, since Yeshua, which has Yud-Kei, is there. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu only decided to put the letter Yud in front of Yehoshua, because Yeshua was a message for the spies regarding Amalek. But unfortunately, the spies decided nonetheless to speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and unfortunately the Jewish people believed them, and because of that we ended up suffering because of that sin. But Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was to preempt this problem by putting the name Yud-Kei in front of Yehoshua. Like that, everybody remember that Hashem is the one who fought the war previously, and Hashem promised that he's going to be at war with Amalek all the time, and Yeshua was victorious previously, and he'll be victorious again. The other answer Mefarshim give, why did Moshe Rabbeinu change the name of Yeshua, is exactly the opposite, meaning that since previously Yeshua fought against Amalek, then obviously there must be some people that knew of Yeshua fighting against Amalek. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu is sending Yeshua in the land of Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he has to change the name of Yeshua, like that nobody will recognize that this is the same Yeshua that previously held a war against Amalek. Therefore, Yeshua will be able to accomplish his mission of spying the land. Again, since Yeshua was the general that previously waged war against Amalek and came out victorious, therefore, there must be some people within Amalek that recognize the name of that general. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu is sending Yeshua to spy against Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to protect Yeshua by changing his name, like that his name won't be recognized from the previous war. There's a famous Chassam Sofer that he asks the question, why is Yeshua bin Nun called Yeshua bin Nun and not Yeshua ben Nun? Why you have a chirik under Yeshua's name? And the answer is based on the famous Yerushalmi Sanhedrin Perek Beis Aloche Vav. There the Yerushalmi says, the Tanur Ravoyshe says, that the Yud of Sarah Imenu, meaning that Sarah Imenu, she was called originally Sarai, with a Yud in the end, and afterwards Hashem changed it to Sarah with a hey at the end. True that the Yud is numerical value 10, and Hashem gave 5 to Avram Avinu, because originally Avram's name was without the hey, and Hashem added the hey in order for him to have children, and the numerical value of the added hey is 5, and Sarah Imenu also originally her name was Sarai with a Yud at the end, and the numerical value of Yud is 10, and Hashem changed that name to Sarah with a hey at the end, which is numerical value 5. That means that Sarah Imenu gave of herself, meaning of her name, of her merits, in order to enable Avraham Avinu to have children. true that the yud, which is numerical value of 10, was split in two, 5 for Avraham Avinu and 5 remained with Sarah, but nonetheless the yud himself was gone, that there is no more yud. Accounting wise it ended up being exactly, but the letter yud disappeared. Therefore the Yerushalmi says the yud came to complain in front of Hashem and said, just because I'm the smallest of the letters, therefore you got rid of me. Hashem said to the yud, get away from here. In the beginning you were at the end of this tzedekes. Now I'm putting you in the beginning of this tzaddik. And that is the meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that the yud that was at the end of Sarah Imenu came to be in the beginning of the name of Yehoshua. According to this, says the Chasam Sofer, we understand now why Yehoshua's name is called Yehoshua bin Nun, meaning that the yud that was originally by Sarah Imenu, that yud was silent, because in the word Sarai, the yud is silent. But now that I put the yud in the beginning of Yehoshua's name, I have to give to the yud some vowels. And we gave a shvot to the vowels of Yehoshua. Therefore, since we see that Hashem cares very much for every little dot, Hashem didn't want to take away the dots from a different name. Hashem decided to take the dots out from the words Ben. Normally a person is called Yehoshua Ben Nun, but since the yud originally was supposed to be silent and now the yud got two dots, and usually the word Ben has a segoil which is comprised of three dots, therefore Hashem took two dots of the segoil of Ben and put it in the beginning of the yud to vocalize with a shva Yehoshua, and it kept only one dot under the Ben. Therefore now it became Yehoshua bin Nun with a chirik. Again, normally the segol has three dots, and normally the word Ben has a segol, and we should really call Yehoshua ben Nun, but since the yud of Yehoshua came from the word Sarai, which is silent, and now that we gave two dots for the yud to make it a shva to read Yehoshua, therefore we had to take the two dots from somewhere. Hashem decided to take these two dots from the word Ben and change it from a segoil to a chirik. Like that it's read now, Yehoshua bin Nun. This Yerushalmi is used by Sefer Pardas Yosef to answer a very strong question regarding Parshas Haazinu, meaning that in Parshas Haazinu, chapter 32, verse number 44, there the pasuk says, "Vayave Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu came, Vaydaber es kol divrei ha'shira azois, and he spoke all the words of this song, ba'ozne yom, in the ears of the people, who, him, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hosheya binun, and Hosheya binun." The Pardes Yosef asks the same question of Rashi, why did the name of Yehoshua change to Hosea at that point? The Pardas Yosef answers that based on this Yerushalmi, we have a very simple answer, meaning that Sarah Imenu's name was changed when she was 89 years old, a year before she gave birth, because the change of name caused Sarah and Avram to be able to have a child. That means that since Sarah Imenu gave birth at the age of 90, her name was changed at the age of 89. And we know that Sarah Imenu lived to be 127 years, as the first pasuk in Chaye Soro says. If you deduct 127 minus 89, you end up having 38 years. That means that Sarah Imenu lost the use of the yud for 38 years. That means that the yud only had a claim against the change of name only for 38 years, because that is the time that Sarah Imenu did not use her yud. Therefore, since the Meraglim were sent in the second year of the desert, and since we were in the desert for 40 years, that means that for 38 years, Yehoshua needed to use the letter Yud in order to appease the Yud for being taken away from Sarimenu. That since the Yud was taken away from the Tzadikas, the Yud needed to be in the front of the Tzadik, because otherwise the Yud would have an argument in front of Hashem. But in Parshas Hazinu, which is at the end of 38 years, which is right before Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, because the Jewish people were in the desert for 40 years, and from the second year until the 40th year, we have 38 years. Therefore, the Yud lost the argument of being Yeshua's name. Therefore, there, for a moment, the Torah is reverting who the Hoshea bin Nun, that he and Hoshea bin Nun. Meaning that Hashem wanted to let everybody know that he already repaid the Yud for being removed from a tzaddikas and put in front of a tzaddik, because now, after the 38 years, which the Yud would have gone in disuse anyways, had it been in the name of Sarah, because Sarai Imenu passed away at the age of 127, which is after 38 years of the name change. Therefore, now the Torah wants to make sure that everybody knows that Hashem repaid the Yud fully. Therefore, now it's temporarily reverting back to the original name, Hoshea bin Nun, because at this point, the Yud doesn't have any more argument against Hashem. Sefer Pardes Yosef brings that this Yerushalmi was used by the Levush Esrot to settle Adin Torah, to settle an argument between two groups. Meaning that once there was a synagogue where there was a man that always sat next to the Chazan. In the old days, the Chazan was in the Mizrach, he was always in the east, and the most honorable places in the synagogue were always next to the Mizrach wall, next to the eastern wall, and the closest you are to the Chazan, the most honorable it is. And synagogues used to auction off that seat for a lot of money. There was a certain man that his seat was right next to the Chazan. It so happens that the synagogue needed to be remodeled, and they were able to squeeze in a couple extra seats between the Chazan's position and this man's original seat. The Gaboim, the board of the synagogue, wanted to auction off those seats, but the person who previously was sitting next to the Chazan claimed that since before he was sitting next to the Chazan, now that there are a couple seats in the space, he has the right to move next to the Chazan, because he always sat next to the Chazan. In the other hand, the Gaboim came with the argument that since you are sitting on the seat that you bought, and we are not moving you away from that seat, then you are entitled only to sit in the seat that you had before. If you want to move over now closer to the Chazan, meaning you want to move a couple seats over to be next to the Chazan, you require to pay again for that right, that we are going to auction off that seat, and if you want to pay, you are able to bid just as much as anybody else could bid, but you don't have an inherent right to sit next to the Chazan. You have a right to sit on the seat that you had before, and that seat has not moved away. This was the argument between the Gaboim and this person, and they couldn't come to terms. They decided to go to Din Torah in front of the Levush Esrot. The Levush Esrot heard both sides of the arguments, meaning that the person was saying that I always sat next to the Chazan, I would like to move to be next to the Chazan, and the Gaboim were saying that you always sat in that seat, you are continuing to sit in that seat, if you want to move your seat closer now to the Chazan, you will have to pay an additional fee. The Levush Esrot answered this argument based on our Yerushalmi, meaning that from this Yerushalmi we see that Hashem took away the Yud from Sarah Imenu's name and put it in front of Yehoshua's name. meaning that previously he was called Hoshea bin Nun. Now that the Yud came in front of his name, he is called Yehoshua bin Nun. But from this Yerushalmi, we also see that the Hey from Yehoshua never came to argue in front of Hashem, meaning that technically the Hey would have a legitimate argument, because before the Hey was at the beginning of the Tzaddik's name, and now that you put the Yud in front of the Hey is not anymore in the beginning of the Tzaddik's name. He is the second letter of the Tzaddik. He is not in front anymore. You must say that since the Hey was not removed from its original position, the Hey still stands where it used to stand. The fact that I put a Yud in front of the Hey does not give the Hey a legitimate argument in front of Hashem, that since the Hey was not moved away, just the fact that the Yud came in front doesn't allow the Hey to complain. The same thing here in our situation, that since you are in your original spot, even though now they put some extra spots in the front and you are not next to the Chazan, but since you haven't moved from your spot, you have no argument against the Gaboim, and the Gaboim are able to auction off those places that are now in front of you. If you would have to move away from your spot, then you would have a legitimate argument that you don't want to move away, you have the right to be where you are. But now that we see that you are staying in the same spot, in the same way that the Hay is still in the same spot, just because now there is extra spaces or there's an extra letter like the Yud in front of the Hay couldn't come to argue in front of Hashem. So too, you cannot come to argue in the Torah, because since you have moved away from your place, you have no basis for your argument. Mefarshim still ask on this Yerushalmi, why did Hashem make it that specifically the Yud of Sarimenu was given to Yehoshua? What connection is it between Sarimenu and Yehoshua? And they answered based on the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Because the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on Pasuk number 16, where the Pasuk says, Vaikra Moshe leHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, the Targum gives a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. The Targum says, Uchadichama Moshe in Vasanusei, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility of Hoshea, Kora Moshe lo Hoshea bar Nun Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to call Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, meaning that the Targum Yonasan seems to give a reason for the name change, and the reason was that Yehoshua bin Nun was very humble. That since Hoshea bin Nun was very humble, he needed to have his name changed from Hoshea bin Nun to Yehoshua. Mefarshim explained that according to what the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, we understand very well why specifically the Yud of Sarimenu came to Yehoshua, meaning that since originally the Yud was by the name Sarai, Sarai comes from the word Sar, which is an officer, a minister, which is a person of high position. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that since Yehoshua is so humble, he won't be able to stand against the opinion of the spies, that he'll be carried away with the spies, not because he agrees with them, but because that his humility will cause him to become silent in front of people that he perceives are greater than him. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to give the Yud of Sarai Imenu, which signifies as a minister, as a lofty person, in order to give Yehoshua strength to stand against the spies. That now that he has the Yud of Sarai, which signifies officer, a minister, now Yehoshua is going to have strength to overcome his humility and stand up against and not be influenced by the 10 spies. The other answer Mefarshim give is that Yehoshua needed the strength of Sarimenu. meaning that we see in Parshas Vayera, chapter 21, verse number 9, that Sarah Imenu told Avram Avinu to send out his son Ishmael, because Sarah Imenu realized that Ishmael is going to be a bad influence on Yitzchak. Meaning that even though the norm of the world was that the son stays with the father, that no son is sent away, but nonetheless, Sarah Imenu realized that Yitzchak is going to be influenced by Ishmael. Therefore, Sarah Imenu said that you have to make sure to send away Ishmael. Even though Sarah Imenu knew that people will talk bad against Sarah Imenu, that her decision is not going to be popular, nonetheless, Sarah Imenu had the strength to go against the popular opinion and send away Ishmael. That strength was needed by Yoshua, because Yoshua now was going with the spies, and since Yoshua was so humble, he could have been very easily influenced by the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu decided at this juncture to give him the youth of Sarah Imenu, to give him the strength that Sarah had to go against the tide of opinions, to do the right thing, even though it was not the popular thing. So too, Yoshua is going to need strength to do the right thing, even though it wasn't going to be popular, because all the 10 spies are going to speak bad against Eretz Yisrael, and Yoshua is going to have to break away and speak good on Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yoshua, because of his humility, needed to have the strength of Sarah Imenu to go against public opinion. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to give Yoshua the youth of Sarah Imenu. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should have rectified the sins of the spies, that we should only speak good about Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll merit to have the day that we cried Tisha B'Av will change miyogoin lesimcha, from pain, anguish, to happiness, that will merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen.